So I feel like I'm just going to put into different words, because I know sometimes we're a little slow in hearing, so I'm just going to put into different words what was already proclaimed to us in the worship. So, just a practical note, when you've had your cup of coffee today, the men, if we could just help Hendrik to get the tables again, so get the chairs out and get the tables again in the rows. He knows the layout. So after the service, if you've had your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, just to help, just want to thank Hendrik. We came on Friday to pack the tables, and we arrived, and there were like five tables still standing. Because Hendrik is not a patient man. He gets things done. But I think we can help you today then. Let me pray for us. Yes, Lord, it is good. It is good when you speak to us. It is good when we experience your presence. We are grateful for the privilege to as a community come together to lift up your name, Lord Jesus, to behold you. And so I pray for this message. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Would you come and teach us? And let us be patient in hearing to receive everything you want to say. And let us be doers of the word you proclaim and not hearers only. Holy Spirit, you are the one that empowers this. And we are dependent on your work. We ask this and we know that you are faithful. Amen. Amen. I've been waiting all week to make a joke. Because it was, I think, last week's sermon left a bit of a bad taste in some mouths. But today we're on the lighter side. It's going to drop. We're still in salt and light. We're going to be on the lighter side of things. Salt and light part two. So last week we spoke about salt and the salt that we are supposed to be and not have diluted. And so today we're looking at what is this statement that Jesus makes in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. What a radical statement that he makes. And so we come today to just maybe bring all our ideas of what light is and let the scriptures speak to us about who the light is. And so we can go from this place and truly be the light of the world as Jesus calls us to be. So I'm going to jump in Matthew 5. So last week we looked at verse 13. Today we're going to jump in. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." A lot of nuggets in these three verses that we're going to be looking at just to... And I want to start today. Jesus says you are the light of the world, but we need to understand what he means when he says that before we can live in accordance therewith, right? And so the light is obviously a theme. It's a massive theme for me to narrow down to the scriptures that we're going to be looking at today. Was really a matter of prayer this week, because light is a big theme in scripture. I mean, God says, "Let there be light," right? And so it carries on. This is just something that we find throughout scripture. This idea of light and darkness is profound. But when he says you are the light of the world, he's speaking in a context and understanding and a expectation. You know, these are not words he had to define again. He says you are the light of the world, and he's referring to things that are written in the Old Testament, and as a starting point, The first thing I want to touch on is when Jesus says you're the light of the world, he's referring to in the Exodus. We know that God went with them as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, right? So that pillar of fire is the pillar of light. It is God himself. So before we get to an understanding of what it means for us to be light, we have to understand what it means that Jesus is the light. Right? So we go and we see this statement, light of the world is made a few times, or light of the Gentiles, light to the Gentiles, light to the nations. This is something that comes through Scripture in the Old Testament. And one of the points of reference is that journey through the wilderness where Jesus himself, him being the pillar of light that guides them, that goes with them, is the starting point. But I want to jump into a different scripture. I'm not going to be in Exodus. I'm going to be in Isaiah, because there's something we need to see about the kind of light, I believe, that the kind of light Jesus is informs what kind of light we are. Right? The kind of light Jesus is informs the kind of light we are. So when we understand you, when he's saying to us, you are the light of the world, it is because we must reflect who he is. And so in Isaiah 42 is the first of the four songs about the Messiah in Isaiah. And they have a consistent theme throughout about the Lord's chosen servant, who he is, what he does, and how the Lord. And so often in these four songs of the Messiah in Isaiah, there's a reference to you as in the singular, as a prophetic word speaking about Christ, the Messiah to come. So this informs our understanding. Behold, in Isaiah 42, behold, have a look, take a look, take a moment, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And justice here is a revelation of what it means for people to walk in relationship with one another according to God's moral laws, according to the spirit of the law. He will bring forth justice, God's idea of justice, the acknowledgement that we are made in his image and therefore the treating of one another in accordance therewith. Right? Justice, he will bring forth to the nations around Israel. So here's what the servant will do. He will bring forth an understanding of what living in accordance with the spirit of the law will look like. Do we see somebody do that in the New Testament? Right? It's a prophetic word about Jesus. This is what he does. He comes to say, this is the spirit of the law. This is what it is. And so he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Let's look at what light is before we understand what we are to be as light. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. This was what the Pharisees did. They would stand on the corner and pray aloud and shout aloud and judge aloud. What it's referring to is he will walk the walk, not just talk the talk. The light that Christ walked, his life was in accordance with what he taught. It's one of the issues he has with the Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You do not do what you say. Right? So here comes this prophetic word. It says, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. This is the light that he will shine. A bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed is someone that's been knocked by life. Maybe it was the pressure was too much. Maybe they put pressure on themselves. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Someone who, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It happens, right? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, but here is unbelief that has been ministered that makes me fearful. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. It is the wick. When the wick gets too long, then it smokes. It doesn't give light. But he does not quench it. He will blow on it until it takes light. This is the light that he will shine. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. And here it is again. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. The coastlands being a representation of those who are afar. Hulle wat ver was, soos ek en jy. Hulle wat ver was. We wait for his revelation of what it is to walk in the spirit of the law. What is God's view of justice? He will not proclaim his own interpretation of justice. My justice. My interpretation of what the court should say about me and my conduct. He will proclaim and bring forth God's justice according to God's moral law. He will shine the light. Thus says God, the Lord, Yahweh, the I Am, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. In other words, the one with authority. Thus says the one with authority. Thus is the one whose everything is. I am the Lord, and now here he talks specifically, prophetically, to the Messiah, about the Messiah. I have called you in the singular. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. A light for the nations is the same term Jesus uses. A light for the nations. And when you see the Messiah and he's conducting himself in this way, the effect will be the following. When he is bringing forth justice, when he is not breaking a bruised reed, when he's not quenching a burning wick, then this will be the consequence. He is a light for the nations to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, those who are captives in a dungeon, but also those who are imprisoned in darkness. Because here's the thing, there is only one light. Everything else is dark. So we can be imprisoned in darkness. We are blinded. When you are staying in the dark, your eyes will start to give up. But he will open the eyes that are blind. God continues, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. In other words, all of this will be for my glory. This will remain. The Messiah will do everything, and it will point to the Father. The idols would try and take the glory for themselves. This is the backdrop This is the backdrop, the expectation, and the four songs about the Messiah continue on this track. You can see later in Isaiah, it continues with the same, in Isaiah 49, I don't have it up there, but he continues, it's the one of the songs about the Messiah. Says, thus is the Lord, there we go, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. It continues. This is the expectation of the light to come. The Messiah will have this light. This will be his nature. And so when Jesus in the New Testament makes a statement in John 8, 12, says, I am the light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to him saying, I am the light of the world. He's referring to this. And he's making the statement at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles where they would, as a memorial to God leading them with a light, the pillar of fire by night, they would light a massive light candle. Apparently, it would light up a big part of Jerusalem, a lot of oil, big 4 meters high or something. So just after this, Jesus makes a statement. The day after, he says, I am the light of the world. The world is in darkness. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will have the light of life. And so Jesus lays claim to the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy about the light to the nations. Very clear claim he makes. A lot of other scriptures I could have taken hold of here, but it was hard for me to reduce them. John chapter 12, once again. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer, speaking of himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When he had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Jesus first, he makes this statement after he has spent 3 years displaying what it is to be the light. What it is to bring forth justice. What it is not to quench a burning wick. What it is not to break a bruised reed. He has displayed this. And then he makes a statement, if you have the light, believe in the light, and you will become sons of light. There's a reason we are still here. It is because when we believe in the light and we are born again of the Spirit, of His Spirit, then we are to be sons of light in the world around us. And the light we shine should look like a reflection of the light that He was shining when He was here walking the earth. Does that make a bit of sense? I'm going to use the illustration to make it easier. Someone used this illustration and just really made it easy for me. That's why I have the picture of the moon. Here's the thing. We are not the sun. When Jesus says you are the light of the world, he's not saying you are the sun of the world. He's the sun. Right? Let's just remember what we focused on here. He's the light of the world. He is like the sun, if we can use the illustration. We are like the moon. The world is dark. Is this helpful? What does the moon do? It reflects the sun. When the world gets in the way of the moon, what happens to the moon? It is a half moon or lesser. You see, the more we let the world get in the way, the more we think this, the light should be the way the world shines the light, that we should break those who are oppressed, we should take what is ours, justice should look the way we define it for ourselves. The more we do that, the more the world gets in the way, the less the sun is reflected on the moon. Makes a little sense, right? So if we are like the moon and we want to reflect the sun rightly, we should prioritize the things that he prioritized. His justice, his conduct with those who are bruised, his conduct with those who are struggling with unbelief. This is what it is to be the light of the world. And Jesus, I'm going to take us back to Matthew 5. If this is our backdrop, this is our backdrop to the understanding, the statement that you are the light of the world, right? This is our backdrop. He continues, and he gives us these illustrations, better than the sun and the moon. His illustrations are better than mine. To make us understand things that we should be concerned about, things that we should be careful about as the light of the world. The first one, he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. When he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, in the background is a city of built by Rome on a hill. And that's still the culture that was the culture of the day, was when you built a city, you would build it on a hill because it's easily defendable, right? But a city on a hill cannot be hidden, shouldn't be hidden, speaks of an authority, a power. He says, when you are the light of the world, you should be like a city on a hill, not trying to hide. One of the tragedies for me about the Christian faith is we have this one trap that we consistently want to step in. When things get dark, we want to get hidden. Ons gaan afstig. En ons sal daar gaan woon waar dit net ons liggies is wat skyn. Want hier is dit donker. It is not our call to be a city hidden. Get used to it. The world observes. The world's not fooled. The world looks at the church, at the body of Christ, and has an expectation that it would represent a city on a hill, a place of safety, a place of welcoming where the gates are open for those who are wandering. Those on the outside are unsafe, wandering, exposed. A city on a hill should proclaim, come here. If you are bruised, come here. If you are smoldering, come here. A city on a hill should not be, the gate is shut, you're on the outside, good luck with the darkness. Make sense? A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Who lights the lamp? Jesus lights the lamp. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, that no man may boast. It is a gift of God. But he lights a lamp for a purpose. And here's one of the dangers we have. He lights the lamp, we decide to put a basket on it. He lights the lamp for a purpose because he fulfilled what he was to do and returned. He ascended again. And he left us here to be the light of the world, to reflect him, to represent him. What we do when we put a basket on ourselves or on the lamp is we cover. And this looks like when we conduct ourselves according to the way of the world. We put a cover on ourselves. Right? We put a cover on our reaching out. We will not reach out to certain people, the untouchables. We put a cover on where the light can shine, because the light, that's a beautiful thing about light, it just goes. Darkness doesn't negotiate with light, it flees. Right? But when you put a cover on light, it doesn't get to go. Darkness doesn't have to flee. And when we conduct ourselves contrary to the nature of light, to the nature that Christ is, we put a cover on the lamp. the light cannot shine where it should. And the people in the house stumble in the darkness and they step on the Lego pieces. And then things go wrong. See why it's important? You see, there's another thing here about the basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, we miss this because we have this kind of light that we switch on and switch off, and it's like a... But there's something about a lamp. When Jesus was talking, a lamp that in your house, you would have this lamp lit and would give light to those in the house, and someone would have to get up twice a night to trim the wick. Otherwise, it starts to smoke and it does not fulfill its purpose. And then people step on the Lego pieces. This speaks to us. We need to take note. Where is my wick too long? Where has it burnt out? Where is it no longer giving light but giving smoke that hurts the eyes of those around me? It gives light to all in the house. They would trim the lamp at least twice a night. Someone would get up and trim the lamp. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Before we get to this part of the sermon, I want to take a moment. If we have an understanding of who Christ is, the Messiah prophesied and fulfilled, and what it means that he's the light of the world, what we are supposed to reflect, then I think maybe you have, like me when I was preparing this, I was convicted about certain things in my life that look like a different kind of justice. Certain things in my life that look like a breaking of a reed. There are certain things in my life that look like putting out someone's fire. Let's take a moment. If that's you, I wanna let the Holy Spirit minister to us. Lord, we come, we close our eyes. Let's just take a moment. Lord, there are things we see that do not look like your light in our lives. Lord, I confess this to you. I confess this to you and I declare my dependence on you. Holy Spirit, where my justice is not your justice, I turn from that. I lay it before you. You desire to bring forth your justice to the world around me, to the nations around me. Lord, where my conduct leans more on a bruised reed, instead of coming alongside, instead of helping, straightening, supporting, where my conduct places a burden on a bruised reed until it breaks, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Empower me to come alongside those who are bruised in their hearts, bruised in their lives, bruised in their bodies, so that your light can shine. Lord, there where I am quick to put out because someone doubts. Help me to trim, Lord, according to your word. Help me to trim, to bring life and light forth that the flame can burn bright. Let me be one who blows by the power of your Holy Spirit on those around me, so that which is smoldering can take light. What the world needs is your light reflected. So I declare my dependence on that. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Now here's a big challenge. Jesus is not confused. He uses this illustration throughout the Gospels. We see him that we do not shine for the glory of man. And in Isaiah 42, we saw at the end there, God says, I give my glory to no other. Right? It's written in Isaiah 42. He's consistent with this. And here's the challenge that we have. We are not saved for salvation's sake. For our sake, he died so that we can continue to do something. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. This is a big challenge that the Roman Catholic Church still struggles with today, because to distinguish between the two is hard, and they want to measure it. But one of the things that we are not called to is good works to be saved, but from salvation, from dependence on the Son, the light, reflects good works. It is not a novel verse when Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. True light reflects into the darkness around it, bears fruit. There are good works we are called to that are prepared in advance by God that we should walk in them. And here's one of the challenges. Once we understand this, now we suddenly do good works and we want to post it everywhere. Ish. We want to post our good works everywhere, and then they will say, look how bright their lights are shining. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Once we go through all of this, understanding who is the true light, understanding what he calls us into, we have to face this challenge. Do our good works bring glory to his name or glory to ourselves? Does it matter that someone knows what you did? As long as God was glorified, as long as he was given glory, as long as something made someone say, hallelujah, I burst forth in praise with light to God. This is what we are called to. And what are good works? Well, here's the second thing. Good here means something that is approved by God and in the sight of man. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 8, he makes this statement, and he says, we pursue, let me just get it. I'm going to paraphrase it, and then I'm going to be judged. Corinthians 8, verse 20. We take this course, it's talking about accountability with a gift entrusted to them. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. We should aim for what is honorable. Not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And then work is something that happens consistently by the intention that you have to do something consistently. From salvation flows good works. Because Christ did good and healed all those who were oppressed by the devil. This is Peter preaching to Cornelius. He says, you know what happened. Acts 10. How Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. If we are to reflect the true light, this should reflect in our lives. So that they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm going to leave it there. I think that's enough for us today. I think it gives us a good direction if we understand that Jesus is the light. We are the moon. We are to reflect the light. The question is, what should the good works look like? Well, they should look consistently like something that is acceptable in the sight of God and in the sight of man, and it should be some form of effort, because that is what work is. And this is all from the place of what he has already done. And that is why Jesus makes the statement, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others." And especially to those in the house. Charity starts at home. Let your light shine in your house in accordance with what light is before you try and do good works on the outside of your house. Does that make sense? There's a consistency required of us at home. I was supposed to finish this now, but I want to share just a bit from my life. I am struggling in certain areas of parenting. And so for me at my house, I have a book that I'm trying to read, because the light must shine better in my parenting. And there may be a challenge in your life that at home is not in accordance with the light that is supposed to bring forth justice, God's moral justice, in your home. I want to give us an opportunity to bring that before the Lord. Lord, we're going to close your eyes. There's something in your house that you need to let God restore to true light. Maybe it's about your neighbor. Maybe it is about your spouse. Maybe it is about your child. Maybe it is about a parent. There is something that we need a restoration to happen. Father, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, these things we bring to you, we confess them here and now. There are things we are stumbling in the dark about that we need to receive your light in, so that we can reflect your light correctly. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that is faithful to do this. Will you show us, Jesus, the true light? Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me. Told you it was going to be a lighter sermon. Now you're laughing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you have a need for further prayer, you are welcome to take hold of the saint next to you, or to come to the front. There will be some of the small group leaders to pray with you. For the rest, grab a cup of coffee. And if the men, after you've had your coffee, can just help with the chairs and the desks, that'll be awesome. Amen.